Without further ado, I know that there are many things that they would like to say. I'm going to turn it over to our elder and brother, Jeff Oldham.
Thank you, brother. It is truly exciting for me to be here today and truly an honor to have the opportunity to serve with my brothers up here and to serve our Heavenly Father with each of you. I'm going to kind of set up a little bit and kind of explain what we're going to do here today. My brother Donnie, when he called me and asked me if I would serve here with you today, he told me that I had full creative leeway. I had the ability to pretty much do anything I wanted to do up here. And so I was explaining to Michelle last night as Michelle and I were driving. I told Michelle, I said, well, we're going to do things a little bit different today. And Michelle said, when do you not, honey? So I'm going to ask for your patience. I'm going to ask for you to bear with me. I'm going to ask that that you listen attentively, that you give it the time and give it the thought that my brothers and I have to prepared and have brought before you. We started off, and this morning my son Trenton read the scripture, and I'm going to start there in Hebrews 11, starting at the first verse. This was the theme for our camp, and so if you would kind of just dream a little bit with me, kind of think a little bit, kind of close your eyes mentally. You don't have to physically, but if you would close your eyes mentally and kind of think of yourselves that we're setting in it's called the Tabernacle at camp. It's a big, huge building. It's really comfortable. Nice and warm, right? We explained to everyone that it's not a dry heat. Fortunately, here in Missouri, we have a very nice moist heat. So keeps us very comfortable, I'm sure. But we're setting in the tabernacle, and we're going to kind of kick off the camp, and we're going to kick off the week that we have with kids. And we start with this verse, and we start with these two verses. And so Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I'm going to read the first and the sixth verse again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Skipping down to the sixth. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is a lesson that I absolutely love. Right? It's one, and actually I was going to ask each of you a question. And the question is, what pressures in life or what things in our life keep us from having a stronger faith? You see, I think about, and actually I'm going to read next the verse in Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 20th verse, where it talks about, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Right? How exciting is that? And that is very simple for us to comprehend. It's very simple for us to understand. I remember as a kid, I remember in fact, you know, sitting in Bible school, growing up and hearing that verse, that if I have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, I can move a mountain. But what is that? What does that mean? What does that ultimately mean that we have faith? Well, you see, when we talked to the kids this last week or a couple weeks ago, we talked about faith and we talked about exercising our faith. Right? How do you exercise your faith? Right? Is there a calisthenic for exercising our faith? You know, is there something that we can do, picking up weights to really exercise our faith? You know, maybe that's is. No, not really. But how do we exercise our faith? Because to me, faith is one of those examples and one of those lessons that we learn very easy. But as we grow up in life and as we start to carry on those pressures of the world that bring on around us, our faith starts to weaken. And so today, my hope and my objective that I have here in the next 45, 50 minutes is that we spend the time thinking of our faith, reflecting on what is that faith that we have, what is that belief that we have, and how do we renew it and how do we strengthen it. So I'm going to go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. And if there's one thing that you take away from you today, if you take anything away from this service at all, I would ask that you take this verse away. Mark it down in your Bible, write it down on your hand so you'll remember it. I don't care what you need to do, but do something so you remember this verse. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Wrong verse. 17th chapter, the 20th verse, sorry. Went to the wrong verse. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You see, to me, that gives me hope. That gives me excitement. You know, when we have the opportunity and we're talking to our own kids, what do we tell our kids? Do we tell them that the world is ending, that you have no hope? No. We give them hope. We talk to them. We try to raise them up. Right? I've told my boys, guys, if you want to be a president of the United States, I hope you don't. But if you want to do that, you have that ability. Right? It doesn't matter what that opportunity that lays out in front of us. There is no mountain too big that we can't climb. And truly, that faith that we have is what carries us through that. You know, I went to a seminar this last week, and it was through work. And I was up, and it was a three-day seminar. And it's kind of a new way of how you help facilitate meetings, or how you lead discussions, or how you lead teams. And what it talks about is, and really the core of it is, you know, a lot of times in business or in meetings, you know, we used to talk about what are the steps to success, right? Or what are the steps that we have to take to conquer this objective that we have in front of us. Now what they talk about is what are the pressures that are keeping us from getting this done? What are the plans that we now have to go out and tackle this objective? And then finally, what are the problems that are going to hold us back? Ultimately, driving towards, when you boil all that down and you go through a whole exercise, it's what are we going to do differently? Right? What are we doing differently in our lives? Where is that grain of mustard seed in our lives? Where is that faith, that size of the grain of mustard seed that is going to carry us through? How big is a grain of mustard seed? Okay, somebody show me, is it this big? Right? Right? Very, very small, right? If you look at the end of your finger, you know, it would be much smaller than the tip of the end of your finger. Right? How visual can we understand? How easy is that for us to understand? Go look up. Go do a Google search. Punch in mustard seed. Pull it up and you'll see a pile of them could fit in your hand. How simple is it for us to understand what faith is and what does it mean? So we're going to study that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before I do, here's where I am going to ask for your patience with us this morning. Is I've asked my brothers to join me today, and my brothers taught classes at camp. The way the day goes is we have the day broke out into multiple different classes, and we have a mixture of study classes and we have a mixture of some fun classes. And my brethren that are up here with me served in helping teach the theme class that we had this year. And that theme class, as you can tell by my first few scriptures, is around faith. And so I've asked my brothers to come up, and I've asked them to share with you their abbreviated portions of their classes. But to give each of us a flavor and to give each of us that taste of how we studied faith a few weeks ago. And my hope is that we each listen. My hope is that we each partake in and actively listen in what the lesson is that our brothers prepared, ultimately what the lesson was that hopefully our Heavenly Father had prepared for us. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to my brother Darren.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to talk a little bit about what my brother Jeff was talking about. He said, what are we going to do differently in our lives? And he talked about that grain of a mustard seed and it being representative of faith. I don't know about you, but sometimes I question whether I have enough faith. And I think, well, you know, and when times when I'm really down, I think I just don't have faith. I don't have faith. But I want to encourage us, In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So if you don't have faith, you have this encouragement that you can go before your Father and ask Him for it, because He gives good gifts to those who love Him. So I wanted to tell you that my theme class, I had the responsibility of teaching with my brother Glenn Gill, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 through 5. And those verses are basically discussing the witness of our faith, the witness of those who have gone before us down through the Bible, and we can include the Book of Mormon, and our own witness. But before I read that verse, I want to read verse 1 once again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then here's starting in verse 2. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Well, what's a good report? A good report is their testimony. A good report is down through the pages of history, down through the Bible and Book of Mormon, we see their good report. We see the result of their faith. What happened because of their faith? Well, that was their good report. And then now, most of the rest of this chapter of Hebrews discusses the good report of many of those that have gone before us. And we're going to get to that. Now, verse 3 says, "Through faith we understand that worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So in other words, things which are seen, the trees and everything that's outside, were made by things that are not seen. God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light." And what? And there was light. He said it by His word, and it was done. It was made, things which we see. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. In the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And so God said it, and it was done. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 33, verses 6 through 9. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth, and He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Do you all believe that? Do you believe that's how the earth was made and the heavens? I believe it. I believe it because everything that I have found in the Word of God, in the Bible and Book of Mormon, everything that I have read and tasted of and tested in my own life, I have found to be true. And so I believe that He said it, He commanded, and it was done. Mosiah chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man cannot comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. So these are conditions whereby we must be saved. We have to believe that He created the heavens and earth. So if you don't believe that, understand that that is a condition for salvation. You have to believe that God is, and that He created all things in heaven and in earth, and that we can't comprehend all things that God comprehends. A lot of times in the difficult times in life, in sorrow and grief, there's things we don't understand. And we have to trust that God understands them. Even when it's difficult, we have to trust He knows what He's doing. And we have to rely on that. Let's continue now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And now we're going to get to some of these witnesses of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So this is Abel's good report. This is his witness, his testimony, that he had faith in God, that he trusted in God, that his confidence was in God. His response to that faith was that he gave his best. He gave his first. He gave what he had to God. You know, we have that opportunity in many ways. The best of our time we can give to God. We can start off the morning reading His Word and praying to Him, or giving Him the first of our time. We have the opportunity to give Him the first fruits of our money, that which we earn. But Abel offered up this gift as a witness of his faith. And he, now down through the pages of history, he has that testimony that he did what was right, that he had faith, that he offered up that first gift. In verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That was his good report. And the result was he was translated. He had faith that the word of God was true, that God had given man commandment. He obeyed those commandments. He pleased God. And therefore the result was his translation. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. We already went over that. That He is, God is, and that He created heaven and earth. And that He comprehends things that we don't comprehend. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, I have found in my life that when I put my mind to studying the Word of God, to understand it, to first pray that God would give me understanding of what I'm going to read according to His will, and then I read it with an interest in learning about God, that my faith is increased. My faith is increased by not only Abel and Enoch, but the sons of Ammon in the Book of Mormon, or the sons of Mosiah in the Book of Mormon, Ammon and his brothers, by Alma, by Moroni, and all of these down through the history who have witnessed of their faith by their actions, by what they trusted God in doing. What we have discussed so far, and I'm going to continue to discuss a little bit, is the witness of those who have gone before us. And I want to jump down let's just continue with verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So why would Noah fear? Noah feared because he read what would happen if you don't obey God. And that history is shown to us down from the beginning, from Cain. Cain murdered his brother Abel. And we can go back to Adam and Eve and their disobedience. Because they disobeyed, we now have death. We have sin in the world. So Noah feared God because he knew what would happen if he disobeyed God. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He knew there would be a flooding of the earth. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Do you think the other people had faith in God? Those that didn't enter the ark? I don't think so. I think that's why they were condemned. But Noah believed that the whole earth would be flooded. He believed that in God, and therefore God spoke to him, told him this. God commanded him to build an ark, and he did it. All out of faith. Can you imagine? We talked a little bit about this in our theme class. How big it was. 3 stories, I think it was. And I can't remember how long. Does anybody here remember how long? About 400 feet long. Can you imagine just the few of them there working on it, how long that would have taken? Many, many years. That is faith. I think Noah might have gotten tired in all of those years, and yet he continued and did what he did as a witness of his faith. He had a good report. It says in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God promised a land to Abraham, and he believed it, and he went and sojourned and did according to God's will. And then his son, not yet receiving the promise, yet he did it in faith. And it was, Jacob's bones who were eventually carried up to the land. And then it wasn't until Moses that they actually, or after Moses, that they actually occupied the land. But because of Abraham's faith, they all believed it generations beyond. And then in verse 11 it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She was 90-something years old. Can you imagine, ladies? When she conceived seed, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God. She believed what he said. She had faith, and it happened all according to his will. These examples of faith not only happened in biblical times and in the Book of Mormon, but they happened in modern times. Many of you were here for our Missouri reunion. I preached on a Friday night, and in the sermon and also in this theme class, I read from the pamphlet that we have downstairs. It's called The Last Maya King, and I read from the excerpt called A Modern Prophecy and Its Fulfillment. I want you all to grab that. Remember, it's called The Last Maya King. I want each of you to get one. I don't know if there's enough down there today, but it is a modern testimony of faith, and it tells the story of a prophet coming to Yucatan and prophesying that the gospel of Jesus Christ would come to Nemencio Shu, and he would be the last Maya king. And that took place in late 1940s, early 1950s, when our brother Clarence and sister Angela Wheaton went to Yucatan. They went there to seek a walled city, but God had another plan, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be brought to Yucatan. And imagine that all of this was prophesied years before, in 1914, by a man in old clothing, and he stood above the ground, and he walked above the ground, and it was testified by different people in Yucatan. And so we see that Brother Clarence and Sister Angela went out in faith that they were serving God. He had a totally different plan than they had when they went down there. This generation example of faith. And I want to tell of, I'd like to finish up my portion with this example of one lady who had a seed of faith. And the result and the effect that seed of faith had on others. There was a lady, I think sister to our brother Gordon McCann, named Lori Bartlett. And she had faith in Christ. And she shared that faith with others. One day, she was in the hospital. She was having her son, Justin. And she met a lady named Kim Shear. And she testified to her of her faith in Jesus Christ and of the gospel of Christ and of the Book of Mormon. And the effects that this faith had had on her life. And this lady, Kim Shear, soon became a member of the Church of Christ. Kim had three children, Nikki, Chandra, and Abby. And they believed in Jesus Christ. They were raised having that faith. And Chandra, when her and her mother, family moved back to Oregon, but when she was 18, she had this dream that God told her she should move to Phoenix. She should move back to Phoenix, and she called Brother Joel and told him of this dream, and he said, we'll find a way to get you here. So she moved in with Brother Joel and Sister Jennifer and soon found a job and got her own place. While she was at work one day, she testified to a young lady, Rebecca Galvan. Rebecca Galvan was converted, and her husband was very much against it at the time, and because they were both raised in a different religion, and she, through her good conduct, her faith in Christ, witnessed to her husband. He was later converted. He, through his faith, built a house in his homeland of Mexico, Michoacán, where he built the house so that ministers could come stay and witness to his family there. They, one day, our brother Placido was there visiting, and our sister Esmeralda happened to be there. She had questions since she was 8 years old. And faced trials with her family because of her questions regarding the church she went to. She would read one thing in the Word of God and found that the church was doing something different and had these questions. And our brother Placido was able to answer each of those questions. She later asked God if she could come to the Phoenix reunion, and God gave her a visa, which is a miracle for someone young who doesn't have a home in their homeland to be able to get a visa, came to the Phoenix reunion and was baptized. She later moved to Missouri, and her faith, by her faith, she witnessed to her boyfriend and my son, Jose. He was converted this last January. They are now both witnessing at their jobs. He was his boss, studying scriptures with him, and she with some of her co-workers, sharing their faith. This all started from this one seed of faith. Imagine if Lori had not shared that faith with others. Who would not have been affected? So my admonition to you is share your faith. Share that love you have of Christ with others. Share the wonderful stories and the truth of the Book of Mormon with others. Share the wonderful stories and truth of the Bible with others. Witness of your faith. My brother Rusty is going to come up now and share a little bit with you about what he taught in his portion of the theme class.
Thank you, Brother Darren. Thank you for allowing me this time. I want to apologize in advance because as I worked on this to scrunch it down, it grew. So I'm short in words. We'll make it fast. I taught the faith class, the theme class, with our brother Andy Brown from Phoenix. And I believe there was a connection there because we're both pretty direct and to the point. And we had the opportunity. We weren't given a specific scripture, but we were given a message to deliver. The message was the importance of faith to please God and what that faith requires to begin believing God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, when it comes to camp and the theme classes, usually the elders like to let me go first so that they can clean up afterwards and correct any mistakes. but today I'm following my brother, and we're going to start just like we were in class. Every class I would start by asking the question, where does faith come from? Where do you believe your faith started and it came from? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells us, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When you hear the word of God or Jesus Christ's words, you know they're the truth. Many times throughout the scriptures we're told that of that truth, and Christ himself says that the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. We jumped right around. I have several scriptures here. We jumped right around to next. We jumped to Romans chapter 1. The very first day, we have 4 days of this theme class, and the very first day, our brother Joel Yates and Adam Yates, they laid out what was going to happen to the students, and that usually tends to help those of us who are teaching the classes as well. They laid it out as evidences, witnesses, the difference between the way the world perceives the way things were created and the way God created things. To me, witnesses and evidences are all around us. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And I would read that, and as I would read that, I thought about that. And Andy and I had spoken together about, do you believe that maybe God instills some little bit of faith in us before we know what faith is? And I thought about that, and I think that's got to be true. He does let us know. He does give us that ability to know right and wrong. That ability to know the truth, to know his word, right? Well, I thought about that, and I thought, well, when I was a young, I won't say man, I'll say boy. I was a boy, probably 7, 8 years old. We grew up as lake rats, we called ourselves, because every weekend, Dad got home from work, bam, we were in the camper, and we were gone. We were at the lake. And it was every boy's dream to not sleep in that camper with his folks, but to sleep out under the stars. And every morning, I would wake up because I would be wet with the dew that had come in the night, and the sun wasn't up yet. And I think about that, I think back to that, and I think that was a witness to me that there was a God. Because I would wake up to that wetness every morning, and I would be laying out there next to what used to be a fire, and it was now just a smoldering bed of coals, and I would hear that morning stillness. And that pristine lake, it was like a sheet of glass. You couldn't get it any more perfect than that. And then you might hear the last call of an owl or a hawk sitting in a tree, a stork standing on the shore. But it was all just so still and perfect and quiet. And even as a child, when I think back, I knew that that wasn't created by any explosion, that there was something that had to be there, that had to create that, because of the distinct individuality of each thing and the perfectness there that was there that I saw. Even as a child, I saw it. I may not have understood it, but I saw it. An evidence of a creator. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, we spoke about the way the evolutionists, in that first day, we spoke about the evolutionists. They were looking for something. Looking for that that missing link is what they said. It's some DNA link to some monkey or something. I don't know. I'm no scientist. I don't understand that. But I do believe that there is a creator, and I do believe that there's opposition to that creator, that belief. Verse 21 through 25. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and in their foolish heart. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now Andy and I came to the conclusion without even saying it that we needed to address this in a real world situation. This task that was laid before us, and we decided that these scriptures fit because in today's world, our youth face such a great challenge against the faith, against their faith, and the growth of their faith, that we wanted to show them. We wanted to prove to them that God knew, and the words He gave to those who write here, that He was speaking of today's times, where in today's world, they put the creature above the Creator. They're elevating everything from animals to humans to being higher than God. There is nothing higher than God. And God doesn't like that when He's a jealous God. We know He's a jealous God. For He will give you up to uncleanness, to your desires, to the carnal desires of man. And that's what we were trying to show them here. We're trying to show them that you know, God is the Creator. God is He who made you and made the creatures that walk this earth. He made you. He gave you evidence with the trees and the lakes that we have spoken of. The evidence is right outside. A blade of grass is evidence of the existence of God in my eyes. But there's opposition to that. And the opposition is carnal man and those that don't believe in a creator. Here are some examples of the things that do challenge our faith every day. Verses 26 through 32. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into the... did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. These are the things that face our youth every day. They're out there in the world, and because the creature is being put above the Creator, they're being told, it's okay, tolerate it, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It doesn't affect you. It does affect their faith. It does affect your faith and my faith as well. We are to endure to the end. We are to endure the things of the world, but not tolerate them. These are things that our youth face as they go out and they learn what's coming. Those of us who are older, we've experienced it. Those of us who have seen firsthand what the world does and how it is, and now we've jumped to the right path. It breaks my heart to think that the youth of this church would have to ever experience the things that I have. When I go to camp, I pray and pray and pray and pray that the Lord will give me that notice. He will touch on me to help deliver that message that He desires for them. That I might help a youth, one youth, period, out of all of them. If I have to reach one person, He'll bless me in that respect, being used as that vessel to deliver that message. And when we were reading about faith, our faith is challenged. And I thought, this is perfect. Because I know what the challenges are. He's using me. I'm that tool that He's going to use, that vessel in which He's going to use. And I hoped and prayed that this was the right message. And Andy was on the same page. Our faith, Matthew chapter 13, we jumped from showing them the things that go against their faith to trying to show them how their faith needs to grow. This is the parable of the sower, verses 3 through 9. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing the word of God brings about the faith. The opportunity to grow is in each one of us, but we have opposition. Verses 11 through 32. Because Christ spoke in parables, He also spoke and He gave the answer to those parables. But not everyone heard. We know that. The scriptures tell us those with ears will not hear, those with the eyes will not see. But if you're blessed to hear the truth and you have understanding, that's where this goes. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he hath, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not persevere. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Okay, this says right here, we have opposition. That opposition will create a block or a stumbling block, or we won't be able to hear the Word of God. But once you hear the Word of God and you grasp a hold of it, that's what God says. He says right here that I should heal them. Our faith begins when we hear the Word of God. We may hear God's Word, but never take understanding, never have that seed planted in us. Or if we do, this is what will come. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Hear my words, I will explain them, he says. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. The fowl of the air snatched up the seed as quick as they fell. Satan will catch you up as quickly as he can. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. There are many who will receive the word and be glad to hear the word. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The world will take over. That word where the world tells them to be tolerant. It's okay, it doesn't affect you. Then when they're persecuted, when something arises that gives them reason to question, they'd rather go the easy way, the way of the world. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The desire to be rich among the earth, to be rich here on earth instead of rich in heaven. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. Another parable, but for another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto him, a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, I'm sorry, that was from something else. I'll stop there. Now we were trying to show them that they had the opportunity, that once they heard the word, they grasped the hold of it, not to give up, that there was opposition there that they would have to face. My brother Andy took over at this point in the class, and like I said, he mopped up after me and corrected any errors. But together we looked up the word diligence. To be diligent. He wanted that definition to start his timeout. Hebrew's definition. I have a computer program that gives Hebrew and Greek definition, and there were many definitions to the word diligently, and he chose pieces of all of them. Diligently, concretely, work, labor, study, speed, make effort, and gain. My brother started out by reading Psalms 119, verse 4. Here, verse 4 says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. That diligence, that, and I know from my own experience, the word work or labor when I'm 12 to 18 years old was not one that I wanted to hear much. But in this instance, every class accepted that word. There was not one that looked shocked or, you know, thought that he was talking about something, some type of physical labor, that it is a physical labor. It is a work. But it's a work with a reward, and that's what we're trying to get through, is that reward through diligency. We're commanded to diligently follow God's laws and His commandments. It's all throughout the Scriptures. That to work or labor, that's pretty self-explanatory. Study. I'm still not a studious person. But at that age, books were just the last thing I wanted to see. But to instill in them that their faith will grow, that opportunity to be that seed in the good soil through study, which is work, which is a labor. The word speed. We're not going to rush at this, are we? We don't want to do this fast. No. That speed is a way to describe making an earnest effort, is what my brother said. That speed isn't to do this as fast as you can and get done with it. It's to make that effort, that diligent effort. Make an effort. And the last one is gain. That word gain. We all have that desire to gain something, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, I tried to recollect the best I could what Andy brought. I'm afraid I didn't. And I wound up putting down some of my own thoughts. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are the witness. We are a witness and evidence to those around us. Our work, our labor, our efforts are for gain. The gain of our Heavenly Father, who is our rewarder, is our gain. A real life scenario. How many of you here have a job? Now, when we asked this to the young people, there weren't very many that said they had a job. You know, how many 12-year-olds do you know that, besides mowing a yard here or there? Every one of us has a job that is an adult, that is providing for a family, providing for yourself. Do you go to work and sit in a chair and do nothing all day and get a paycheck? I don't think so. You go to work, you work hard, you're diligent at your job. Why? Because you want the company you work for to have gain, to make a profit. Because if they make a profit, then you make a profit. Then that annual review goes really well. And you don't get that pink slip. I've never seen a pink slip. Are there really pink slips when it comes to jobs? I don't know. Been let go. Been fired. Because I didn't work diligently. No company wants you around if you're not going to do a job as well as possible so that they profit, so that you can profit. Well, it's the same thing with God. Think about it. you have faith. If you just sit back and do nothing. Matthew 25. You all know this parable as well. Parable of the talents. Starting at the 14th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. God gives to each one of us. He does. He gives each one of you a talent, not money, but each one of you have gifts of God that He expects you to use. And it's according to your ability. God, I'm glad that I don't have some of the responsibilities of my brothers. Someday, maybe. And at that point, God will have given it to me because He knows I can handle it. Because I have the faith to call on Him. Not one of you here has an ability to not have an ability. God will give you that which you need and that which you can use. And He expects you to use it. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, and thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. That's exactly what your job's going to tell you if you just sit around in a chair all day and do nothing. You lazy bum. Psh, get out of here. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Put your talent to work. Don't let it lie dormant. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Trying to describe some of these things to the youth, it's a challenge. But it's a blessing because the Lord was with us all week. All week. Every day we went through these things and And when we left, the kids were talking about it. And we, Andy and I's hope and prayer was that we brought a little bit of the real world idea to the scriptures, that they would try their faith, that they would grow their faith, that they would recognize what stood against their faith. The reward, and I left this to the class every day, and I'll leave it to you. Finish reading that chapter. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, it describes the reward and the basis for judgment. A basis for judgment. I don't know God so well. I don't know Jesus Christ so well as to say that I know everything and that everything that He's going to judge me according to is right here. It is. But do I have understanding? I don't know. But I will tell you that the rest of that chapter is going to tell you a lot. And I put that to the kids. And I had a few kids come to me and tell me, ah, that makes sense. That's what we want. Or that seed of faith to be planted, that seed of faith to start growing. Thank you.
Thank you, Rusty, and thank you, Brother Darren. I'm going to wrap this up, and I want to, we're going to end, but I want to wrap up with a scripture and one last thought. And that is, first off, I want to thank everyone for your patience today with us. We've thrown a lot at you, but I hope that you're filled. I hope that today you've started to build that foundation, or you've got that solid foundation and now we're just starting to renew and strengthen that foundation that we have. For faith is that lesson, for faith is that thing that we can carry with us in all of our lives. My brother Darren made a comment. He said, the gift of God, if we don't have it, we can get it. Right? If you don't have that faith, if that faith is waning, we can get it. My brother Rusty said, just look around us. The examples of faith are around us. The examples of the creation that is around us. And so I'm going to close with a verse that my brother Darren read. I'm in Isaiah, the second chapter. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Right? Pretty simple. It's a very simple thing that we have. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. And humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. Our brother Darren said to us, he said that real example that he shared, that real example of our sister Bartlett that shared and that trickle-down effect and that direction that that example went all the way to one of our sisters that are sitting here today with us. It takes a practice. It takes us exercising our faith. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And I'm going to skip over and I'm going to end now with to the 21st and 22nd verse. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. You know, that is my hope and my prayer, that we call in the name of the Lord daily, that we reach out to Him and that we ask Him to help us strengthen that faith. And so I thank you for your time. I thank you for your attention. I also want to thank everyone for their support and their love and their prayers that you give to the camp. For it is 21 years now that the camp has gone on in a very short amount of time. A lot of people have gone through there and a lot of people have been involved. But clearly, we are thankful to our Heavenly Father for the guidance and direction that He gives and for the support of our brothers and sisters. Thank you.